Hey Podnuts, Corey here from Instant House Call. Whether you're a break fix tech who needs to provide remote support on demand without pre-installed software, or a managed service provider who wants to connect to unattended PCs anytime, Instant House Call makes remote support easy. I want to invite you to try Instant House Call free for yourself. Go to podnuts.com and click on the link in the show notes, then use the promo code PODNUTS. Instant House Call is the best remote support on earth. We can prove it. Try it free now and see for yourself.
Welcome to PODNUTS Daily, episode number 432, a show for computer repair techs by computer repair techs. I'm your host, Jeff Hallisch. I'm joined today by Chandler Calvert from Two Geeks iPhone Repair. How you doing, Chandler?
I'm doing great, and you?
I am doing awesome. I'm ready to talk some tech. How about you?
I'm ready.
Okay. Very cool. Well, I want to welcome you to the show, and I want to just give you a few minutes to go ahead and basically tell how you got started in computer repair, kind of your backstory of what you're doing or how you started, and basically where you're at now as far as starting your computer repair business.
All right. I basically got started into technology and electronics when I was 14. I started coding websites. My parents own a gift shop, 5,000 square foot gift shop, which is where my business is located right now.
Oh, cool.
And they needed a website for their business. So I started there, and it inched into iPhone repair by the time I was, what am I, I'm 20 now. So by the time I was 18 or 19, I bought an iPhone 4 off eBay and went out to my shop and tore the screen off and put a new one on it. It was a successful repair the first time, and that's how I got started in Two Geeks iPhone Repair.
Oh, very cool. So you're 20 right now, right?
I'm 20.
Okay. And you've already got a good head on your shoulders as far as you know that, you started a business, and fortunately you were able to, you know, work with your parents and stuff like that. But that's cool with the website, getting started there and then having that interest. That is quite a jump. Now, I know a lot of people do websites and repair and different things, but to me, it's still a jump from going from a website to actually taking apart an iPhone and repairing it. And you said the very first one was successful, huh?
It was. It was an iPhone 4. I think it was Verizon.
Okay. Very cool.
But it was a black one, a cheap buy off eBay for like $20. And I found a company that sold iPhone parts and bought one from them. Just put it on my bench. Took probably about 3 hours the first time.
Okay.
And my brother sat beside me with a little camera videoing it all, make sure I done it all right, watched the video to do it backwards, and it turned back on to my surprise.
That is a great tip, you know, because a lot of times when people are first starting this and they're taking things apart, you know, they'll basically pull the screws out and put them in a piece of paper or line them up or, you know, whatever things that you do. And that's a great idea to take a video and actually watch it so you can go, yep, I can just reverse this now.
I did. You can do the video, or you can go online and print off those screw repair sheets or whatever. You relay the screws to go to the certain parts. I actually have me a little system now to where I kind of have it all memorized in my head. But I start from bottom left. I take the back off the phone, start in the bottom left-hand corner and work up. And I lay my screws out in the exact order. And I kind of group them to what part they go to and stuff. And then, of course, I go backwards from top right to bottom left.
Oh, that's awesome. When I first started taking apart laptops, that's why I would flip the computer over and I'm pulling the screws out of the bottom. And, you know, I would line them up next to, you know, in the order that the laptop was oriented.
Right.
And when I did that, so that was fine until one time I kind of knocked into a bunch of screws and they kind of all knocked all over the place and I had no idea, so it didn't really matter. But I've become a little more sophisticated with laptops. I just basically throw them in a bowl and call it done.
Right.
But as far as the newer devices, there's a lot of them with the, you know, even the laptops with the digitizers and all these, you know, ultrabooks and stuff like that, where I actually have a magnetic mat where I do kind of line them up and draw on there where each, you know, section goes. And, you know, if it goes to a card or if it goes to a, you know, sister board that goes in back into that computer, just so I have an idea, I'm not putting too long screws in the wrong spots and all, and
exactly,
all that kind of stuff. So,
yeah, when I'm taking apart laptops, I kind of have a throw them in a bowl method, but I group them by size and what part they go to. So,
yeah, oh, very good.
It's kind of like a throw it in a bowl method.
Yeah, no, that's cool. Very cool. So, okay, so you got started in your computer repair business. And, you, I mean, when did you actually start charging people for your service as far as, like, the, you know, different repairs you're doing?
Probably about June of last year.
Okay.
And I had a little kiosk. Mom and Dad helped me fix up a little kiosk in their store and everything. And slowly, you know, fixing friends' phones, and the word kind of got out. I did no advertising at all.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
I just, you know, work with friends' phones, kind of got a feel of what different devices I could work on. And January of this year, January 1, I ended up going to get my tax ID number, your business license, and talking to an accountant, seeing what all information I needed there. Definitely one thing you need to make sure you do right off the bat is see what all you need to charge for as far as taxes. Make sure you get your business license, and make sure you're supposed to charge. You have to charge certain fees and stuff, I think, according to what kind of shop you are. But make sure you do it right the first time. Call the, I guess it's the courthouse or whatever. See what you need there. Just don't just get started saying your business and everything, because it could come back to haunt you.
Right. No, I agree.
But yeah. But as far as I started working on the iPhones and stuff, and then January we expanded my business. I have about 1,000 square foot now, and that's when I started the kind of computer repair and laptops, and took that on and doing the virus removal. And so basically right now I work on tablets, phones, laptops, desktops. That's what I cover.
Okay.
And I do a little bit of game systems on the side.
Gotcha. Now, as far as the tablets, and now obviously iPhones, as far as repairing them, those are the most popular. Do you delve into the other phones like Samsungs or LGs or anything like that?
I actually had a lady come in with the LG a few minutes ago. It's going to be a new one for me. I've done a couple of LGs, but not this particular model. But that's also another thing you need to do is when you order parts for your new phones, make sure you order two parts for that phone. You know, you kind of go in the hole on the first one maybe, but it's worth it in case you break the part. But definitely iPhones and Samsungs are my everyday phones. But I work on LGs and the kind of the off brands. You know, I don't know if you've heard of Straight Talk. Straight Talk's coming out with these crazy new phones and stuff. And I will work on those if I can get the parts. HTC's are basically one that I will kind of turn away.
Okay.
Because I don't like working on, just my personal preference, I don't like working on HTC's, especially the M8. I've worked on one of those one time, and that one was, I won't work on those ever again. They're just, personal preference is hard for me. You know, everybody else might say they're really easy.
Right.
But not in my opinion.
Oh, no, I give you a lot of credit, man, because I'll tell you, I took apart an iPod Touch one time and tried to put it back together, and that was enough for me. I broke two screens, and I was done. I'm like, you know what?
Oh, wow.
I'm not doing this anymore. Well, what ended up happening is I eventually got the whole thing back together, but there was a little cast aluminum piece that you could not order from anywhere. In other words, I would have had to have a bin of them sitting around, and it was cracked. And why they made it out of cast aluminum, Apple, I have no idea why you would do something like that. That's silly. But anyway, so the power switch had nothing to push against. And there was, I mean, I probably could have filled it with, you know, epoxy or something like that. But it just, there's no guarantee that that thing's going to stay. So I was just like, you know what? Nah, forget it. But go buy a new one is what I told the customer.
The only thing you can do there is if you don't want to do it, you know, just, you have to plug it in, of course, to turn it on and use the assistive touch to turn it off.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's so, a good idea.
They make that little assistive touch in the accessibility settings to where it controls, it takes over any button that stops working on the outside. Volume buttons, home button, lock switch, you know, it controls everything.
That's a great tip. Okay, I did not realize that. And this was a few years ago, but I just had a bad taste in my mouth. And just recently, I replaced a digitizer on a laptop, which I actually, because when I was lifting the broken digitizer off, I basically scraped the LCD screen underneath and ripped it open.
Right.
So
it happens to everybody.
I know.
I've done it too.
I know. And it's like, and I just looked at it and go, now I look at it and I go, okay, I did one. I got it back together. I got the double-sided sticky tape from 3M. It worked fine. The customers got it. They're using it. Everything seems fine. So I might do something like that again. I just will charge a lot more money than what I charged.
Well, yeah, that's what I do is, you know, the first one is, you know, always your learning one. And if I get it successfully together at the end, no matter if I went in the hole or what, I'll probably add it to my list of things I can do. But because as long as I get it together and it's working how it should be when I get done, I will add it. And there's very few things that's happened to that I have crazy episodes where I break an LCD or something. But especially when I'm doing the glass only repairs. But I'll tackle basically anything if I can take it apart.
Okay. No, that's good to know. It's one of those things where it's like, you know, I guess if there's, you know, there's diagrams and different things online that you can find for these repairs. And it's like knowing where the ribbon cables are so you don't cut into those.
Right.
And all those, you know, all those different types of things. So it's.
And you also have those times, you know, your tool just slips.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to slip every now and then. Don't pull up too much pressure.
Right. And, you know, it is amazing, though. I remember when I was doing power jack repairs and it really is amazing how even like the PCB boards you would think are very brittle. And, you know, if you just knock something around a little bit, you're going to destroy the motherboard. And even putting all that heat and stuff that I used to put on those, they were fine.
Right.
You know, they are actually very robust. It's just that you can't, if you've got to force something, then you're doing something wrong as a general rule.
Right. That's how I take it. Apply more heat.
Yeah, exactly. Now, do you get a lot of, did you like order any broken phones or anything like that? Or have you worked on just customers' phones that bring them in?
When I started, I did order broken phones off eBay and stuff, you know, just to kind of get started. But as far as, you know, stuff that I haven't worked on every day, most phones are basically all the same. They're put together with glue and screws. And if you look at your diagrams online, definitely, you know, ifixit.com is a great website. Look at your diagrams online, read them upside down, frontwards, backwards, and everything. Make sure you know what you're getting yourself into. And take it very slow. You don't have to order phones just to work on that first time. I will definitely tackle a first time on a person's phone. Because there's always a way to fix it unless you break the motherboard in half or something. But the odds of that happening are very low.
Right. Okay.
But no, the only thing, the only one I guess that I ordered just to try and work on was that first iPhone 4.
Okay. All right. That's very, very good. And now, obviously, are you getting iPhone 5s and 6s yet?
Oh, right. 6, 6 Plus, all of them. I haven't had an S6 in here yet, a Galaxy S6.
Okay.
But I might soon. Yeah. I had a iPhone 6 in here 1 week after they came out.
Wow.
Right. And of course the screens for those were outrageous.
Right.
But they started out at like $500 to replace one. And of course nobody's gonna do that. But now I do iPhone 6 screen repairs for I think $200, and the 6 Pluses I think are around $300, $350 maybe.
Okay, so prices have come down. Now,
right.
Did you find one supplier that you're able to get these from, or do you go to different places for your parts?
I actually have two suppliers, and it's pretty good that I can only go with two instead of having to keep up with an enormous amount. But I do have, and I already asked to make sure it was okay that I said their name on the show and everything, but etechparts.com.
Okay, I've heard of them, actually.
Let me make sure it's... It may be etech.com, but etechparts.com. And they are my major source for iPhone parts and the Samsung parts. There is another company I use, let me make sure their website, revamphosale.com. I don't know if you've heard about them.
No, I haven't.
Okay, they are a really good site. Their Samsung screens are considerably cheaper, but you also have to look at the quality. When you're looking at wholesalers, don't go by price. Go by quality. Because, you know, you got people that come into my shop. Well, I can get that $97 screen fixed for $60. Yeah, and 2 weeks later, you're going to have it in here getting it fixed again because they didn't put a quality part on it.
Right, right.
But both of these, I've been ordering from both of these companies since I started. And eTech Parts, I've probably ordered, you know, 500 or 600 screens from them, maybe. I don't know. That's just a number I'm throwing out there.
Okay.
And I probably had two dead screens.
Okay.
So, I mean, they're really, really good. And, I mean, of course, they're going to take it back and, you know, give me new ones. They have a good return policy. So does Revamp. But as far as, I mean, they do everything, you know, all the way down to your small parts for micro soldering. And they do also do accessories and all the way to your iPhone screens, your Samsung screens. And they also, eTech also sells parts for Chromebooks, I think. They actually got the new Apple Watch parts already.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I'm not even on their website. That's just all the stuff I'm naming from memory.
Okay.
But they also sell, which is really cool, they also sell one laptop screen that fits like, it's an LCD that fits like over 2,000 model computers.
Really?
Really. And they also include the spreadsheet of every model it fits. So you can print that off, put it in a binder, you know, customer comes in, check the model number in the book, and it's one set price for all those models. It's really cool.
Now, let me ask you a question, because a lot of times, you know, and the reason I, even back in the day, matter of fact, today, I still order screens by the number on the back of the, on the LCD screen, even though a lot of them are very similar. But the thing that's different is the placement of where the ribbon cable goes to. So I never wanted to mess with any extenders or anything like that. Now, is there a way that you can do that, or do you have to put extenders on there if it's, you know, too far to the right or too far to the left with some of these laptops?
I haven't read anything about it. I've been using this laptop screen on every single model that it would fit that comes in my shop, and I've never had to do that.
Okay. Well, awesome.
So, I mean, it's a very universal screen, and it surprised me when it saw what all brands it fits.
Very cool. Definitely send me a, you know, the link for those sites. And I'll add them to the show notes.
I will.
That's very cool. No, that's. I'm sure that will help a lot of people out there, because you know, one of the things I'm a big proponent of quality parts, and even for laptop screens, a lot of times I would tell people, you know, again, they always say, "Oh, I can get it fixed cheaper over here." I said, "Yeah,
yeah."
But what type of screen are you getting? The ones I'm ordering are A+ screens, which means you're going to have no dead pixels.
Right.
It's going to work 100%, and it's going to match the resolution and everything that you already have.
Right.
And so that's one of the things that I did, you know, I've been doing, you know, since I started. So.
Right. That's what I do. And another company I want to throw out here, since we're talking about laptop screens for a minute, is laptopscreen.com.
Yes.
That's where I get all of my laptop screens except for the ones in that universal.
Okay.
Model. But I actually ordered two screens from them yesterday, and they have really, really good pricing in my opinion.
Okay.
But something else I was going to mention totally slipped my mind. But a while ago when I was mentioning getting started in the iPhone repair, I did want to throw out here that I think it was a month and a half ago, I found a mobile training school that it's in Florida. The company is Fix Mobile Tech. And actually, eTech bought them out already. So eTech's the owner of that now.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I went to them, and Mike, and I was just texting Preston, and he's the sales guy there, and Mike's a technician. And I would tell everybody to go to that school, hands down. It's the best mobile school I've ever seen out of anybody online. Super, super nice guys that help you with anything. I went there. They have different programs for, you know, different amount of days you want to go, and advanced training, and, you know, but if you already know a certain amount of things, they sometimes, you know, they tailor the course according to your knowledge.
Okay.
So, and, you know, I called them, and they don't have a set days that they have the course. You actually call them and tell them what days you want to go, and they tailor the course to that. So, like, I told them I wanted to go, you know, like, I want to do the 3-day advanced course, which included glass only repairs, micro soldering, board level repairs, you know, and then, you know, you also got your simple stuff in there if you want to do it. But I went for a Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, I believe. And it was like 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. courses. And we had just had a great time while we were there. I ended up being the only guy there during the entire course. And I got one-on-one. I was able to get one-on-one training, but I would definitely steer everybody towards this school if they're just getting started or if they even know advanced repairs already, just to kind of get a refresher. But and it was like, I think I paid I don't want to, don't hold me to this. I think I paid like $800 or something.
Okay.
And, you know, like for the, you know, for, there's a hotel nearby and Preston or Mike picked me up from my hotel every day and took me back to the hotel every day. So, it was really great.
So you actually went to Florida to go to this school?
That's what I went for.
Nice.
That's the only thing I went for.
Okay.
So I flew out of Memphis and, you know, I got into Miami, then flew to, it's in Gainesville, Florida.
Very cool. Okay.
And, you know, it's a college town, but then I was there for the 3 days and went back. It was really cool.
That is cool. So you got actual hands-on training.
Hands-on training. It's all hands-on.
Wow. Oh, that's awesome. Well, you know, and you're being smart about it because you're investing in your business, you're investing in your knowledge, and you're doing something that, you know, to be honest, a lot of us older techs are afraid of. Getting into these small devices. I've gotten really good at laptops, but in my mind, that's about as small as I want to go.
Right.
But the reality is there are so many small devices out there now, and I get phone calls all the time, and I keep kicking myself because I keep turning them down. And it's just because it's like, nah, I don't want to mess with it. But you know what? There's definitely something to that I think after doing this digitizer, I might actually go back into looking at more of the mobile repair for this area in doing some of those things.
I would. Don't let one fail get you down.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, what it comes down to, it also comes down to a time, you know.
Right,
And part of the problem is when I, even when I was taking the digitizer off that laptop the other day, I looked at it and I go, okay, it's literally, even if I'm efficient and figure out how to do this with all the different types of glues and different types of things, it's going to probably take me an hour to properly remove the screen without breaking anything.
Right. That's same thing with iPads.
Right. Okay. So I'm looking at it, I go, okay, do I really want to spend an hour doing that? You know, when, you know, virus removals for me are, you know, 15 minutes on keyboard and I'm done.
So. Right. Right. Hey, you've got me beat there. I can't get my keyboard times down to that at all.
Well, I mean, you know, there's, you learn a couple things where you kind of automate your processes, even when the virus removal repairs are actually fairly easy. It's the updates and all that kind of junk that takes long.
Once you can start the scans on the programs, you know, just leave it alone, work on another repair.
Exactly. So, but no, that's cool though. So yeah, I'm probably going to look into something like this because like I said, especially the iPhones, Samsung phones, I've had calls for the iPads, I've had calls for, and people are dropping these things. They're breaking them. Now, let me ask you this. Now, as far as like, and here's the other part that I ran into on this iPod Touch, and I keep going back to this, but when they dropped it, it didn't just crack the screen. It bent the frame.
Right.
And, you know, when you have a bent metal frame, it's, you know, what do you do in those cases to make that? Do you have to order something or what can you do?
I haven't had a whole lot of bent frame come in here.
Okay.
And then I'm also kind of stuck in a situation. All my repairs are done in front of my customers. So my tech bench is literally like 8 feet away from the customer. So I sometimes, you know, if you're not going to break anything, I don't tell people to do this, but you can take like lay it flat or on a flat surface, and you can kind of take like a little rubber mallet or something. Don't hit it hard. I mean, just kind of bump it, tap it, get it to flow down smooth and everything. I mean, just kind of play around with it. You can bend it with your hands if you want to.
Really? Okay.
Right. I mean, I've bent iPhone frames with my hands and iPod frames and iPads, but don't do that in front of your customer. If you do have getting a hammer out in front of your customer on their iPod is not a very good idea. But, you know, and a hammer is a little extreme, I know. But if you do know what you're doing, then you're not going to hurt anything.
Right. Okay.
But, you know, a rubber mallet or like at the end of your screwdriver, you can kind of tap it out. But as far as I haven't had that many issues. I mean, like iPhones bent in corners and stuff. You can actually, those things, I think iPhones are made out of aluminum, I think. What are they made out of?
Yeah, I think so. Sure. I think they're aluminum.
So, I mean, you can actually take an X-Acto knife and cut that aluminum. It's really easy.
Okay.
So, you know, cutting out the corner a little bit, especially on bent-end frames on iPods, on iPads, I mean, take an X-Acto knife, kind of cut it out. If you have a, like a little grinding tool or whatever, what is that tool called?
Dremel.
A Dremel.
Yes.
Right, you know, kind of grind. I had to do that to iPad Mini the other day.
Okay.
And explain to your, you know, like, what I recommend is what I do is inspect the device when it comes in. And tell the customer, show the customer the issue is there and tell them you're going to have to do what you got to do to fix it. So, I mean, so if the little piece of metal, you know, is missing on the corner, you know, because you had to grind it out a little bit, you know, it's going to be there. And there are, like at the school I went to, you know, they showed us how to, you know, take some compound and stuff and kind of form it in there and, you know, sand it down and make it. Kind of rebuild it again.
Okay.
Kind of repaint it, you know. But there's a few different solutions there, but I haven't had enough come in to really practice that yet.
Okay. No, that's good to know. And you know, as far as those people that have those, you know, have the iPads and stuff out there, come on, people. You're spending $600+ on these devices. Put a case on it.
Right. Exactly. And do it. Spend the money and get an expensive case, not something that's like a millimeter thick and is soft rubber.
I would go for any case, to be honest with you, because even the cheaper cases are going to do something to minimize the damage.
Well, they will minimize the damage. You're right.
So,
but I push LifeProof cases. I mean, I don't.
Okay.
You know, OtterBoxes, they're good, but I fixed more phones in OtterBoxes than just out in the open.
See, I have a rule. See, I, you know, like outer boxes and all that kind of stuff. I literally probably don't pay any more than $20 for a phone case.
And it's a
popping case. What I always look for is, though, it has to have a raised edge on the screen side.
Exactly.
As long as it does, customers. I've dropped them on the corner. I've dropped them flat face down. I've never broke a screen on any of my phones as of
I
yet.
I haven't either.
You know, so.
I haven't either. But you know, now I'm gonna say that.
Yeah, really. Yeah, yeah, really. Not gonna, okay.
But
not
you know, I've never bought an OtterBox or LifeProof case for mine either.
Okay.
But you know, I'm also a tech and I know how to fix it if it breaks. So, but you know, I do offer it to the customers because they do. I've got customers that come in to me and get their phones fixed 5 times a month.
What?
So, I mean, I've got you know, people that I've got hunters and stuff that come in here. You know. Drop their screens on their truck, you know, while they were shooting a gun or something. And I've got one guy, you know, he gets it fixed like 5 times a month max. And I finally talked him into getting a case for it. I'm like, I love you spending money in my shop. But I said, I feel bad for taking this money from you. You need to get a case. So he finally got one. But yeah.
Now you said you do these repairs in front of customers. So how long does it normally take you for a screen repair?
Well, on iPhones, you know, I think I mentioned a while ago, it took me 3 hours to do my first one.
Right.
But from I don't work on 2Gs or 3Gs. I do it from 4 to 6 plus.
Okay.
I've worked on 3Gs, and they're not my favorite ones
right.
to work on.
Right. I've heard bad things, yes.
Right. They do crazy stuff when you take a screen off of them. But from 4 to 6 plus, in and out the door is 30 minutes.
Nice. Okay.
So from the minute they bring it into me, hand it to me, I work on it, check them out. It's 20 to 30 minutes tops. And unless there's a crazy situation to where, you know, the frame is a little bit bent or, sure. you know, something, you know, there's crazy situations like that. But, you know, 30 minutes is what I finally got my times down to. And I don't think you're going to get it much faster than that.
Oh, so, you know, 30 minutes. Now, what are you charging for the iPhone repairs with parts and everything?
So the 4 and 4S is $65 plus tax. And the 5, 5C, and 5S is $89. And like I said, the 6 is $200, and like the 6 Plus is $350 or whatever.
Okay, gotcha.
But, you know, my dad's in retail and has been in retail all his life, so he kind of helps me with the pricing there and everything. And we've got and then I go by, you know, other repair shops' pricing and stuff, and I kind of go by that. But yeah, it's making good money and everything, so that's my solid pricing for right now.
Very good.
Until the screens go down more,
right? Well, and obviously you're getting plenty of business because you're able to do something. Not only are you able to do it quickly, you're able to do it efficiently, and right. you know, basically you've got parts on your you know, in your shop there,
right?
And you can get this stuff done, and for the price, you know, people are going to come to that all the time.
Right. And then another big thing is doing it in 30 minutes, you can fix it on somebody's lunch hour. So, I mean, that they have to have their phone at work, they're bringing it in on their lunch hour, they stand there and wait on it, and they take it back to work with them.
Nice.
So, and then another thing I also recommend as a shop owner that's already opened, order double the amount of 5C screens than anything else.
Okay.
So, I mean, I normally at all times keep 3 of every screen in stock. 5Cs are super, super easy to break. So I keep 6 of those in stock all the time.
Okay. And you know what? That's not a whole lot of inventory for, the amount of business that you're doing in the turnaround. That's actually pretty good.
Right. And the reason I keep it low like that is, it keeps me from spending a whole lot of money at one time.
Sure.
On screens. Also, I'm in Arkansas and E-Tech is in Kansas or something, I think. I forget where they are.
Okay.
Anyway, they're a 2-day ship for me.
Okay.
And then they also have the option to overnight. So, I mean, if I place orders before like 4 o'clock, I get them the next day. And there are small things that you can do to make your life a little bit easier. If you're, if you're a repair shop and the overnight FedEx guy brings your shipment in, ask for his personal cell phone number. And, tell him that I'm in a small town of 8,000. So, I mean, when he comes to my town, I can drive 2 minutes in either direction and hit the edge of town.
Okay.
So I just call him at 8 o'clock that morning when I get into work. And I'm like, where are you? I'll meet you and pick up my package. So I'm not getting my package at 4:30 in the evening.
Gotcha. Okay.
So, get UPS and FedEx's personal cell phone numbers. Our guys definitely don't mind giving them out, especially if they're going to drive, if you're going to drive to them and pick up the package. It's just an extra drop they don't have to do.
Right. Okay.
But
that's a great tip.
There's a lot of small tips like that I can give, and we're getting in good. And another thing is, if you have, I pride myself on, totally being honest with the customer. If you break something, be honest with them and tell them up front. I mean, pay for the repair yourself. Tell them you're going to have your device fixed when you get done. When customers come into me and they're like, how much is it going to cost to fix this? Well, it's going to cost you $300 and something for me, but if you have insurance on it, you can get it fixed cheaper, and you get a refurbished phone, of course. But tell them everything up front. That's going to keep return business,
right?
Be totally honest. Like, even if it's taking money away from me for them to do an insurance claim, do it, because they're going to bring that device back to you later, because they know you're going to be totally honest with them.
Absolutely. No, and I found people that have brought in stuff and, they have a bad hard drive. Right. I'd be able to capture the data off of it or whatever. And basically I look at it and go, oh, wait a minute, this drive is like 7 months old.
Yeah.
And I'll go and look up the warranty on it, and I'll let them know. I said, we can do one of two things. I said, you can either save some money and just, I print them out the paperwork, and you can, call and send your drive back in and get another drive, and you'll be up and running. Or, I can do it for you. Obviously there would be a charge for doing that, but
right.
A lot of people appreciate that honesty.
They do. They do. And, another thing is, just this week, I have started getting the county's repairs.
Okay.
So like the deputies are bringing me in their iPads with broken charging ports and stuff. And, talk to you. And, I think it's probably only going to happen if you're in a small town, of course. But, I'm the only repair shop in this town. So, as far as phones.
Okay.
So, I went up there and I'm actually probably going to call the sheriff tomorrow. But I've talked to them because I've already had two deputies come in with broken iPads. And I'm going to talk to them about getting the exclusive on iPhones and iPad repairs. Because I'm going to do it, at a maybe a little bit of a discount with them. I'm not sure yet.
Sure.
I'm still figuring all that out. Call your local schools. If they use iPads for every student, they're going to need repairs.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause like there's a school, like, I think it's like 20 minutes from us, 30 minutes from us, and all they use is iPads. And I'm going to call and talk to them about doing their iPad repairs. But if you can get in good with all of these, higher up people is what I call them, then you can definitely start making some money and build you a name.
So I want to step back here for a second, and I want to point something out, because a lot of people out in the community will say that, I live in a rural area, and I I don't, you know, I really can't get business, or business doesn't work for me, or whatever. And what I'm seeing here is, yeah, there's a couple things in your favor, but you're still going out there. You found a niche
right.
in your marketplace right. and you're filling that niche, no problem. And you're getting plenty of business for it.
I am. Yeah. There's, and like I said a while ago, I'm still, even though I've almost been open a year now, I've still not done advertising, really. I mean, you know, I do have some stuff coming out, like I'm advertising on top of pizza boxes, you know, in the local high school's what's it called, the yearbook. I'm going to advertise in that, but I mean, nothing's really out yet, so I haven't got any business from advertising. Most of it's just word of mouth,
right?
So I mean, you know, get the Facebook page up and the Instagram, and you know, start liking people around here, get the followers, spread your name, you know, spread out business cards, you know, get a t-shirt with your name on the back of it.
Yeah, there you
go.
It all
works. You know, go if you got baseball games or football games, you know, put flyers on people's windshields. It could, I mean, you know, you probably need to ask to do that before you do that. But, I mean, all of that stuff, you know, really helps you. And it's kind of like free advertising.
Absolutely. It, you know, and I've tried several different types of advertising, but most of my business still runs from Google AdWords, which is fine.
Right.
I've been able to get it to work.
That.
Yeah.
And you know, but lately, since I'm the only guy in our area, just today, for instance, I had a guy come in here, and when I unlocked his phone to test it out and everything, my Facebook page just pulled up on the screen, and I was like, "Where'd you get my business name?" He said, "I just Googled phone repair near me, and you were the first listing."
Yeah, very cool.
So, and he was like from, you know, a couple of towns away. But, you know, I've also got into the thing where there's AT&T, Verizon, and Radio Shack in our town. And every single one of them send all of their repair business to me.
You know, I always wondered about that because, you know, I've seen the advertisements on a lot of these shops, and I wondered if they actually did it in-house or if they actually sent it out to people like yourself.
They send it out, but no, they actually send the customer to me. They don't claim the work as their own or anything. They send them to me, and they give my card out. And I've got – and actually, 15 minutes away in the next town, Verizon and AT&T send their business to me too.
Oh, that's great.
And I didn't ask any of these people to do this. It's just word of mouth. It just gets out.
Yeah.
You know, if you're really good at what you do, and this kind of blew my head up a little bit also. I actually had to go and work on Radio Shack's computer systems the other day.
That's awesome.
So, you know, they needed to remote in to install a program, and I had to go and clean up their computers a little bit to save them some room to install the program.
Wow.
So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, you don't hear about that as much anymore, you know, with all the, you know, cheap prices of storage. And it's like, really? You're running out of room on your computer?
Yeah, I know, right? It had like a 10 gigabyte hard drive in it.
Oh, my gosh.
It was really bad. I'm like, man, you need to update this.
That was like my first PC back in 1999 had a 10 gigabyte hard drive.
Yeah, it was running Windows 98 or XP or something, I think.
Oh, that's just sad.
Yeah, that's what their POS system was running on.
Well, you know what? There's more companies that, yeah, their POS systems are running on older versions of, you know,
right.
XP right. and whatnot. So, wow.
You know, I heard you're talking about that iPod a while ago and, you know, getting an iPod back together and stuff. I actually have a little story, if you don't mind me telling.
No, go ahead.
Actually, it's a 6-month-old story, but it just ended up finalizing today.
Oh, okay.
But, so 6 months ago, I actually have a few stories here if we have time.
Sure.
But, about 6 months ago, lady brought me in an iPod 4th generation touch and broken screen, you know, normal repair. I've done them all the time and took it apart, got it back together, went to turn it on. It doesn't turn on. Okay, I'm thinking bad screen. Stuck another screen on it. Doesn't come on. You know, on the third screen attempt when it doesn't come on, I start, you know, kind of freaking out a little bit, but, you know, plugged it in, make sure it wasn't dead. No power at all. So I took it to that school with me, and me and Mike worked on it for a little while, you know, trying to get it back on. We never really figured it out. We changed batteries out in it. We checked board level, make sure there's all the, you know, circuits are there and everything. It's seated down properly. And we still didn't figure it out. So basically, the customer told me 6 months ago, and it was a miscommunication, actually. I thought she said that if I don't get it to turn on, I basically told her it was a DO, it was DOA. I mean, I didn't do, it was an everyday repair. I didn't do anything different than any of the other ones. This was the first device I've had that didn't come back on.
Okay.
And, you know, I offered, you know, I had iPod touches, you know, I offered to give her a new one, or, you know, I was taking it to the school and trying to get it turned on. But she said, you know, if I don't get it turned back on, just don't worry about it. And I was going to give her an in-store credit. So I got back from the school, and last week I get a call from her saying, where's my iPod? And I had left it down at the school for other students to work on to maybe see if they could eventually get it to turn on. So I thought it was a good project. So I said, it's at the school. She, you know, kind of got crazy on me and had a little bit of a emotional meltdown because little miscommunication, she did want it back.
Okay.
Because it had her daughter's pictures on it. And, you know, that's something I can't replace.
Right.
And no money can bring that back. So, you know, she's like, I'll take it to Apple and I'll get them to work on it. I said, they're not going to work on it. I said, the second I opened it up, it voided the warranty for one thing. I said, another thing is it's an iPod 4 generation. They're probably not even going to touch it because it's so old.
Right.
So they're probably, and, you know, it's going to cost you more. Even if they do touch it, it's going to cost you more to get it repaired than it is worth. And I said, you know, I said, I think, you know, Preston and Mike still have it. I said, I'll give them to get send it to me. So they sent it to me, and I got it, you know, like 2 days later. And I worked on it, I think, what's today? Monday. I worked on it Saturday for a few hours. And I've, you know, already got hours into this repair over the last few months. Because
right.
And I so finally, I sat down, and I'm like, I'm determined I'm going to get this thing to come on no matter what. So I pulled the entire motherboard out of the iPod, and I looked down at the headphone jack, and it's been water damaged, which I did not know.
Oh.
So I turned over the board, and there is a big old wad of corrosion right on the back of it. And we didn't even know it because you don't have to take the board out of an iPod Touch to replace the screen.
Right.
And I, you know, water damage, you know, doesn't even cross your mind.
Right.
So I cleaned off the water damage, put a screen on it, it flipped right on. And, you know, I started jumping up and down kind of because, you know, I hooked it to my computer real fast. Luckily, there was no password on it. Transferred all 900 pictures that were on it onto a flash drive. Called the lady this morning and said, I got your pictures. So, you know,
nice.
I was super happy. But, you know, and the only thing I can think of is that maybe when she, you know, because it was working when she brought it into me, that maybe the corrosion was just keeping it from turning it back on and it wasn't bothering it while it was still on. But,
yeah.
You know, I was super happy to get that back. And when I called the lady, I said, it had water damage in it. I didn't know I was supposed to be looking for water damage. She said, well, you know, that iPod did sit out in the yard for about a month one time.
Oh, wow.
Oh, okay. That helps. So anyway, that was a great successful repair for me to
right.
put in my memory books. But yeah.
And yeah, how do you look for something like that? Because if you're not having to get down to that level,
right?
You know, you're not really going to know. And it's like, yeah, people don't – I do ask people, hey, you know, and I tell them in a nice way, let me ask you a question, and I have to ask this question. Was this laptop ever dropped?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I've never dropped that. Or, you know, but a lot of times, once you ask a couple of those pointed questions, people start opening up a little bit and actually give you a little bit more to the story than, you know, what they originally told you.
And you know what else I love?
What's that?
I love the quote, no, it's never been worked on before.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, you know, I open it up. Then explain the 5 screws and plate that's missing in this phone.
Exactly.
Well, I've had it since new. It's never been worked on. Sir, yes, it has been worked on. Okay, I mean, I'm not calling you a liar, but it's been worked on.
Right.
Because Apple does not send it like this from their company. So, and then, you know, they bring in their repairs that don't work at all. I mean, their devices that don't work at all.
Right.
And they're like, it's never been touched. You open it up, of course it's been touched and all this, you know, the ribbon cables are ripped from the last guy that worked on it, you know, and
ugh.
Oh, we've got, and you know, crazy things you hear. We got repair shops about an hour away from me, which is the big, there's a college town an hour away from me, which is our big town closest to us. I've actually got word that this guy steals parts out of phones before he gives them back to people.
Oh.
Like, you know, stuff that you're not going to realize is gone.
Sure.
So, I mean, like screws in certain places he may need, you know, in the future. And then there's also a repair shop in the opposite direction, 15 minutes, that gave a customer back her phone in a million pieces and said it can't be fixed.
Wow.
And it was her daily phone. Like, he had had it for a week and said it can't be fixed. So that's crazy. She brought it to me. I put it back together and got it working and everything. But, you know, I just don't understand that.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, you know, and especially it's one of those things in today's day and age, if it's not something you want to do, you know, obviously find somebody that's close to you and, you know, give business back to that way.
Right. Because, I mean, don't mess up somebody's piece of electronic just because you don't know what you're doing.
Exactly. Or be willing to, you know, basically replace the phone because you did whatever, you know.
Exactly.
I'm going to order you a refurbished phone and, you know, this is what you're going to get, but at least you're going to have a working phone. So.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, that goes a long way. It's unfortunate. You know, I know, you know, times can be tight and it's hard to, you know, run your business nowadays, but you have to run it right.
Right. The second you don't replace that item for that person is the second you're going to get your name pushed down in the dirt and you're going to ruin your reputation. So, you know, like your business reputation is not worth that. You need to replace the device for them, even if you go in the hole.
Right. Exactly.
So, I mean, that's what I like. You know, I've got 100% positive reviews on my business and I've got all happy customers and I'm super happy about that.
Right. No, that's the only way to go. So now, as far as like, you know, for these screens that stick on for the, you know, obviously the iPads and the iPod touches and different things, what do you use to restick those screens back on?
Well, you know, like the iPads, they come with adhesive, you know, already on the screen sometimes. Like the parts that I order from eTech, which is where I get my iPad screens.
Okay.
You know, they already have, you know, the adhesive on the back of them, and I get the ones with the home button already in it and everything ready to go.
Okay.
And, you know, they're not that much higher. You're still going to make a good profit on them.
Sure.
So that adhesive just, it doesn't do it for me. Like, it doesn't feel tight. So I use, eTech sells this adhesive called Red Tape. I don't know if you've ever used it.
No, I haven't.
But it is, I think it's the best tape ever made. You know, people, you know, have their own tape they use. They think it's better than that. But I leave that tape already on there on the iPad screen. I peel off, you know, the protective coating, and I line the iPad edge with the red tape. And I just, you know, stick both the tapes together. And it's a really solid bond. I've never had one come off, and you can't pry one off, really. You have to heat it up to get it back off.
So now you take the red tape and you put it on top of the already existing tape that's there and it sticks to that, and then you're able to set the screen onto the frame.
I put the tape on the frame.
Okay.
So that I line it up so it is lined up right. But, you know, I put the tape on the frame and then, you know, peel the protective adhesive off of that, and then, you know, peel the protective screen off the back of the iPad screen, you know, and then set it down.
Okay.
So it's lined up perfectly, and I've never had an issue out of that. You know, that may not be according to what everybody else does, but it seems to have a really, really tight bond.
Well, one of the things I've heard, and, you know, even when I replaced the digitizer here a few weeks ago, one of the things I did was I basically put some books on it to set the adhesive. Now, the adhesive was fine as long as you get it down one time, but it was a 3M adhesive.
Right.
But on the iPod touches, the tape that I was given with those screens was complete and utter garbage. It wouldn't hold the screen on to save your life. So I'd heard stories of people like super gluing the screens on, and I'm like, you've got to be kidding me.
Hey, on an iPod Touch.
Yes.
On the fourth generations, I will add a little bit, not super glue the screen in place. I still put, they have 1 millimeter red tape that I add to the entire edge of that screen.
Okay.
And I hold it down. Now, I will put a little bit, like one single drop in each four corners just to give it a good tight bond of holding it down.
Okay.
But I mean, I will not super glue a screen into place. That's not how you do stuff.
Right.
Okay. But I mean, just a little bit of an extra touch to hold it down good, I will add. But, you know, use it very, very lightly.
Gotcha. Okay. And then do you have to hold those, when you're putting that adhesive on, do you have to hold it in place for a certain amount of time? Or
what I do is I have a heat gun, and I actually, you have to be careful not to burn your fingers, but I,
or the device,
or the device, I heat up the adhesive kind of as I go around, and I firmly press it down, like extremely firmly, you know, and then I put the heat gun away, and then I press it firmly down again. I've never set books on it or anything.
Okay.
The minute it cools, it seems to have a super tight bond. Like I have a little, I don't know if you've ever seen what a spudger is.
Oh yeah.
But it's a, you know, flat piece of metal. And I can stick my spudger down in that and try to pry it up, and it's almost as good as Apple's adhesive.
Okay, great. I don't understand why these replacement screens don't have the same adhesive that Apple products or Samsung products or whoever has on their screens already.
I've never gotten that either because it's so good.
Right. It's like, is it proprietary or, you know, come on. So, all right. Well, let's...
Yeah, I did. I had another highlight the other day of where I actually took my first iPad screen off without breaking it.
Oh, do tell.
Yeah, so actually that was actually the deputy's iPad. And I gave him a good price. It was a charging port replacement on an iPad. So I gave him this price, and I did make sure the price, you know, I charged him for the charging port, but I also made sure that the price was also going to cover the screen just in case you ever break it. Because, you know, there's those times you can't help but break the screen to get in it.
Gotcha. Okay.
But I was like, I'm determined, because it was a flawless screen. I was like, I'm determined to get this screen off without breaking it. So, you know, I took my time, and it did take a little bit of extra time since it was my first time trying to do it without breaking it. And I really heated it up really good and, you know, took the spudger and kind of added the pressure, pulling it down to lift the screen up. And, you know, added heat as I needed it going all the way around. And I got it all the way up without breaking it. And I was jumping up and down then, too, because I've never done that.
So now you have to, in order to get to the charging port, you actually have to take the screen off.
Yes, you have to take the digitizer off. You have to take the LCD out. And then there are some screws holding in the charging port.
You know, it'll be nice one day when they stop using glue and just go back to some sort of frame and screw.
There you go. That's why you love Samsung phones.
Wow.
They may have 20 screws in the back of them, but it still screws.
Exactly. Yeah, there's no, Now, even on the iPhones and stuff like that, those are all screwed in, right?
Right. Well, they are. Yeah, they are. Those are good and easy. But yeah, on the tablet, now, the Android tablets and stuff, a lot of those are still screwed in, too. But, you know, the name brands are the ones that have adhesive.
Okay.
You know, the off-name brand, off brands and stuff normally just have screws to replace them.
Gotcha. Okay.
Even the digitizers.
Very cool. Wow.
But
yeah, that's you know, it's one of those things that, you know, as you get into it and you start to figure out, you know, how this is going to work. And like I said, I didn't know it, so I ordered three rolls of, you know, 50 yards of tape that I don't need for one project. But it was so cheap, I was like, and it's 3M, so it was a name brand. And I figured, and it was the spongy. It was a little bit thicker.
Right.
Which was the same that was on this actual, you know, laptop. So I was able to use it just fine. And, you know, it was still nerve wracking putting it back together. But once I got it back together and got it to stick, and like I said, I set books on it because I had no idea. I just wanted to make sure that it wasn't going to fall out. And I set it on there for like 24 hours. And then it was fine the next day. Started up, no problem, and gave it back to the customer. So,
right.
And lost another, every dime I had on it. But anyways.
I know. Yeah. Those sometimes are crazy. But, you know, that red. You should definitely try the red tape out. Like, I'm looking at my bench right now, and I think I've got 1 millimeter, 2 millimeter, and like 5 millimeter size. And I use every single size on different repairs and stuff.
Now, that's interesting because on this particular, you know, digitizer that I had put in for this laptop, I actually used mostly 10 millimeter.
You can get all the way up to 10 or 12 millimeter, I think, in the red tape.
Gotcha. So you've never had to use anything quite that thick?
No, sir.
Huh.
Not that wide, no, sir.
Huh. I wonder if it's because the laptop's a little bit bigger.
I was going to say, I don't replace the digitizers on laptops very often either.
Gotcha.
I haven't had one in here yet.
Well, I've only done one, so I have no clue.
Okay. Well, We're about the same there.
Exactly. It's like, I just, when I pulled it apart, I looked at it and go, you know, and I was glad I ordered 10 millimeter, 8 millimeter, and 2 millimeter, something like that. But anyways, it worked out.
Yeah, the 2 millimeter stuff is good to get in those tight places, like on a real small part, you know.
When I used all three, because the frame was not even all the way around, because you've got
that's what I mean.
You know, ribbon cables and different things coming in different, you know, holes, and you can't cover certain holes because they're for, you know, light sensing for the camera and all that kind of stuff. So, it was an experience, not one I want to relive, but you know, I definitely will look into it again. I'll just have to charge a little bit more.
Exactly. You know, that's what my dad's constantly getting onto me for. Charge for your time.
Yes.
Don't just charge for the product. You know, if it takes you 3 hours to do it, you got to charge for your time.
Yeah.
I mean, you're a service offered. You know, they're going to pay it. I mean, don't overcharge the customer just because you can.
Right.
But charge them a good fee that's going to make up for your time that you're going to spend on this product.
No, exactly. No, that's the way to do it. You know, I'll be interested to look in and see what what those universal screens are, because it's probably, I would say probably, I can almost imagine it's going to be 80% of what I get on a regular basis.
Right. See, you know, I think, right here, I've got the book right here beside me, and I'm looking at it, and I've got eMachines, Gateway, Asus, Acer, HPs, Sonys, Toshibas.
Yep. Yeah.
So it fits all the models, Samsungs.
Now, with that book, obviously, are you looking up just the model number of that particular laptop? So, in other words, you don't have to take the laptop apart. You can just look. It's an MDX, right. You know, 47158 or whatever.
Right. It's the model number that's on the bottom side of the laptop.
Okay.
Awesome. And rarely do I take out the screen to test the model number. Now, sometimes I do because, you know, I don't know if you've come across this. You know, the CCFL and LED, like, you know, sometimes you can't really tell unless you take it apart.
Right.
To see. So I have had some issues there, you know, but nothing that cost me anything extra. But and what I, you know, other, if people are looking at open repair shops, I definitely say, you know, get a binder like what I've got here. I've got a very thick binder, and I've got, you know, my instructions on phone buying, as far as, you know, to buy phones off customers, refurbish them, put them out in the cases for sale. I also do that. You know, make a price guide, you know, in a book, so you can go straight to it. Don't just call out numbers.
Right, right.
But
no, that's a good tip too. Yeah, because a lot of times people, you know, I've kind of rounded mine up, you know, as far as like LCD screen repairs. If it's a 15.6 inch laptop, it's $149.
Okay.
And you know, and I know I can get the screen's going to be anywhere from, you know, $60 all the way up to, you know, with shipping and all that, all the way up to, you know, even sometimes on the little more expensive screens, higher resolution, maybe $100.
Right.
You know, so it just depends on the, and then if it's a ultrabook, then that's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really hard on myself on like organization, you know, like don't take a lot of time looking up pricing, you know, they should be in and out.
Yeah.
And I'm constantly doing more organization, you know, getting my parts into specific bins, you know, going by what specific model phone or laptop they fix, get paperwork down like a binder I just said, something you can flip through really fast, give them a price on something. You know, organization is the key, I think, in my business right now. I know how to do the repairs. I just got to get organized now to cut my times down.
Right.
On, you know, what it costs to give somebody like a price on something.
No, exactly. Yeah, there's a lot of good, you know, good feedback there as far as, and you're doing both. I mean, you're getting, you have organization, but you're also doing the work. And with a lot of people, what will happen to a lot of businesses is they get into the organization and they kind of forget the work, or they get into the work and they forget the organization. And you've got to be able to do a little bit. And one of my things I say every day is just a little bit every day. Just a little bit goes a long way. And, you know, you don't have to spend hours and hours, you know, on certain projects, but you can just adjust them, tweak them, make them a little bit better. And I'm constantly doing that with.
And, you know, what I do to kind of make up for the time and stuff is I normally don't put down a specific price for something until I have the first person come in and ask for that specific item.
Right. Okay.
Like I didn't figure out my iPhone 6 Plus or sticks pricing until I had the first customer come in.
Sure.
Then I wrote it down to add onto my books. So you can, if you do it like one or two items at a time as they come in, then you can have it organized by how, you know, how often this item comes in, you know, so it's at the top of your list. Or you can have it, you know, categorized by model number and all that stuff.
Very cool. Now, is there, so now you started with the iPhone repair. You've been doing this for about a year. Obviously, you've gotten into some virus removals and stuff like that. But you also said that you had a few stories that, was there some other stories you wanted to share while we got a few minutes here?
I did. I have, I got two or three more. So this morning, I'm actually working on a computer right now in the background, and it's working on the virus removal and doing updates and stuff. It actually stopped on me, but anyway, it's was working on that. But so this lady, she comes in this morning. She's about, you know, 60, late 60s maybe. And I have my computer, you know, like I said, all virus repair. I don't have a back room. Like, everything's done in front of you. So I've got a bench right in front of my iPhone repair table and my phone repair table, and I just flip around, and I've got a triple monitor stand and everything with that I can just hook the desktops into, and I've got the mouse and keyboard already sitting there. So I've got her desktop. You know, it's one of those white Dell Inspirons.
Okay.
I guess that's how you say it, Inspiron. Anyway.
That sounds close enough to me.
Okay. Anyway, so she comes in this morning, and she brought it in like Friday or something. I told her, I said, I'm going to have a busy weekend. I said, are you going to need this back in any rush? She said, no. And so I've had it running, and it ends up to where I've already ran MZSoft, I ran Viper, and I ran Super Anti-Spyware. And all three of those items together have already detected over 1,100, like, you know, Trojans and little viruses, and, you know,
malware and all kinds. Yeah, malware, not all of them are viruses.
1,100 items added together. It's probably my worst computer I've ever had in my shop.
Oh, that's low.
Oh, really?
that's low.
That's high for me. Normally, no, normally 300 or 400 average, but, you know, so this lady comes to my shop, and she said, you got my computer done yet? And I said, no, ma'am. She said, okay, I was just checking. I said, yeah, that's it over on the bench. And she said, that's not my computer. So my brain just went,
what?
Yeah. So she saw my little, I have a little, you know, black e-machines that I have down on the floor. It's a project I'm working on for myself, like a little small home server type thing.
Okay.
So she said, that's my black one over there on the floor. So by that time, I'm really going crazy inside. So I said, no, ma'am, this is your computer I have on my bench right here. I said, this is the one. I said, it was, because the reason I remember is because, first off, it's the only desktop computer I've had in my shop in 2 weeks. And second of all, it's, I went and got this out of your car and brought it in here. So I know which desktop I'm working on. She said, I'm telling you right now, that's not my desktop. I said,
oh, wow.
How do I deal with this?
Right.
So I'm thinking, I'm like, I just, so basically I just said, yes, ma'am, it is. And I got a little bit stern with her. I don't do that often. You know, normally, you know, the customer's always right kind of
right,
thing.
Sure.
But, you know, I said, ma'am, I said, what was your last name again? And, you know, she told me her last name. And I said, this note on the top of this computer says this is your computer. And I said, and I called out the password to the computer. I said, is that yours? She said, yes. I said, watch this. I turned the screen towards her or whatever. I typed in the password, and it opened. And, you know, her name is on the user ID and everything. And I said, this is your computer. No, it's not. I just showed you that you're used, you know, I'm giving her all these things. So finally she said, I guess it is. She said, my computer was black when I brought it in here. I said, no, ma'am, it wasn't. I said, this is the computer you brought me in here. She said, fine, I guess I'm going crazy. So, I mean, she never quite believed me, and she kind of just stared at me for like a minute or two, just giving me kind of a wild-eye look like, why are you telling me that's my computer and it's not my computer? So, like, I didn't really know exactly how to deal with that this morning.
Right.
So that's what I came into this morning.
Wow.
So I finally got her to realized it is her computer, and it is. Like, it's all of her files are on this computer and everything. It's, I'm 110% positive it's hers.
Well, you know what happens a lot of times, and, you know, this is, you know, people need to be aware, is that sometimes somebody will have a, you know, a computer that was a black computer at one point, or and their kids, you know, replace a computer with a white computer or something like that, and they don't really realize it until, you know, even when they got to bring it in. They're so used to, they might have had a black computer for years.
Well, you know, that's what I even thought, but then she told me that's the only computer I've ever owned.
Really?
Really. So, you know, that didn't even work.
Wow, okay.
So it was...
Maybe yeah. She was just crazy.
Well, she said I did have my one... She mentioned something about having a computer at work, but it was years ago, and I'm assuming that one might have been black, but she said this is the only one I've ever owned. So I'm assuming the one at her workplace was black. That's what I'm going to assume.
Okay. That's interesting. Yeah. Okay. That's, yeah. Well, you know what? You handled it very well. So yes, good job.
I tried not to get, you know, too stern, but, you know, this is your computer, man.
And you showed her with, you know, with the password, her username. I mean, all that stuff's right there. It's like, yeah. How would we get it right?
I mean, I'm not going to take the time to transfer these files from a Windows Vista computer. I don't want a Windows Vista computer. You know,
right.
2008 computer for myself.
Exactly.
So, you know, I've got another story too.
Sure.
And this one's probably the worst story I'm going to have in my shop, hopefully. But
wait, you got a year in business? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm in business. It's going to keep happening. But this is the worst one for right now.
Okay.
So this, another older lady brings me in her computer, and, you know, it just looks a complete wreck. You know, it's packed full of dust. It's just, it's been sitting down in the corner since they got it. She leaves. I open it up because, you know, normally if it has a lot of dust in it, just on a complimentary thing, I'll never even tell them. I'll just blow the dust out of it just to be a nice tech. So, you know, I keep all those air guns on hand and stuff. But I opened it up and all I see is roaches.
Oh.
Like 30.
Oh.
So I immediately close it back up and I take it outside.
Right.
Because the things are, it's already been sitting in my shop for about 5 hours now. Not in a trash bag or anything. Sitting on the floor for 5 hours. And I've already, you know, seen them kind of. I saw a bug on the floor. I didn't know what it was. I'm hoping, you know. Anyway, took it outside. I've tried to blow all the roaches out of it and everything. There was everything from eggs to small roaches, all the way up to big roaches.
Oh.
And I'm all the dust included, and I blew it all out and everything, and I immediately put it in a trash bag, and I just turned it away. I said, you need to come pick up your machine. I said, I cannot have roaches in my business. And that's probably the first computer I've turned away like that, and I told her why I couldn't have it in my business.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. I mean, and, you know, some people might say you should do the repair anyway, and I'm like, no. And, you know, you can't get rid of roaches easily.
No, I was going to say, you know, hopefully nothing bad happens from that. You know, because
I know. You know, I have no proof or anything that it was hers that did have done it in my business. But, I mean, it's my business and my parents' business. So, you know, we're hoping nothing comes of it. But that's one crazy thing. When I opened it up, I saw him running. I'm like, oh, goodness.
I, you know, a lot of times when I first get a, you know, I take a computer in and I take it out to the garage immediately, unscrew the side of the case and grab my leaf blower and I blow it out, you know, so it's outside my house. And then once I go from there, you know, I you know, put everything back together, and then I bring it in and make sure that nothing like that happens to me.
I need to start doing that.
Take
it out back on the sidewalk, blow it out.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Wow.
Yeah, that's, well, crazy.
Or when you see one that comes in like a train wreck, then you figure, yeah, we take this outside.
Yeah, yeah.
Or even if you don't have time to deal with it, you know, keep some trash bags on hand and, you know, just put it in a trash bag and wait for a little bit.
Right, exactly. Put some tape over the holes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh. You know, something else I was actually going to talk to you. I was on the show. I have another note here.
Okay.
And this is for everybody that's going to be listening. And if there's already a site out there like this that I don't know of, be sure to tell me. Okay, so when people bring in laptops to me that they're not worth fixing and they're just – they're dead sometimes, completely dead, or if they just want to get rid of them, you know, I'm offering them $15, $20, and they take it. And, you know, it's just, I pull the hard drives, pull the RAM. You know, you made your money back right there.
Sure.
Okay. Then you've got this laptop in the corner. LCD works, you know, but it's an old laptop. You're not going to have people wanting those LCDs every day. Motherboards sometimes still work. You're just not going to have people want them every day. But, you know, you don't want to use the tech. You don't really have the time to spend putting them on eBay and, you know, Craigslist, trying to get them to sell, worry about shipping them, relisting them. You know, so since I have the website, you know, kind of, I know how to do that. I never really got into it a whole bunch, but I do know how to code and, you know, CSS, HTML and stuff like that. But I'm wanting to make like a website that's, you know, a computer boneyard in a way, but I'm wanting to play it on the fact that if I'm a tech, I go in, I create an account. And, you know, I don't post pictures of what I've got. I don't do anything like that. It's got some kind of messaging system in it to where all I do is make a list of the make and model of computers I have. Okay. And, you know, make those fields searchable or whatever with the metadata or whatever. And, you know, have each user have their list of computers they have and be able to search it. And, you know, this tech has this computer. I wonder if he has that certain CPU fan I need. And be able to have a cell phone number on there. Instead of doing, you know, email all the time, have a cell phone number on there. Give him a call up. Hey, do you want to sell the CPU fan that you might have on that laptop? You know, kind of like a tech-to-tech thing. You know, like, you know, I'm not going to be using this part anytime soon. Why not, you know, give it or sell it to another tech that needs it? So I don't know if you've ever done anything like that or if you've ever heard anything like that.
I haven't. It sounds like a great idea, and it sounds like, you know, something that's needed because, yeah, a lot of times there are small parts that, you know, you either can't find or, you know, it's
you know, power buttons, CPU fans.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like that gateway I was emailing you about the other day or we was on Skype or whatever.
Right.
The lady, I ended up having to buy, you know, a used CPU fan on eBay or something. You know, they said it was 100% working and stuff, but I don't know.
Sure.
But if you're dealing with a tech, they have the resources and everything, hopefully, to test the product out before they send it to you.
Right, right.
And, you know, it's kind of like what I would call, you know, like kind of like a brotherhood type club type thing to like, we're all these techs. Why not share our knowledge and, you know, share parts if we're not going to be needing them? That's just sitting on our bench for the last 6 months and, you know, sell it for really cheap because, you know, they want to make a good profit off of it. You've already pulled the hard drive and RAM. You know you're going to make a profit off that. Don't try to kill somebody off making a product profit off that product. Just, you know, share a lot.
Sure. No, it sounds like a good plan. Yeah, I haven't heard of anything like that myself, so. Yeah.
Or if anybody wants to contact me about helping me get it set up or if somebody's already got something like that and they want, I mean, I know probably a lot of people have this. I have a grid server account with Media Temple. I can host the website and everything. But, so, I mean, that's just basically sitting there with two websites in it. It's waiting for a big website to come along.
Okay. Sounds good.
But, yeah. Oh, anyway.
You said you had another story?
I think that was it.
Okay.
I'm kind of looking at my notes right now. I thought I did have a fourth story, but I ended up not writing it down.
Well, so. I think you went over a lot. You know, if you can definitely send me some of those links, I think you went over a lot of good information of, you know, suppliers and different things like that and what you're doing and how you've gotten certain things to work for you from the mobile repair side. And also, you know, some very interesting stories of, you know, stuff that we all go through in, you know, in doing this business. But if I had to ask you one last thing, what are some of your favorite tools, software, or hardware that you use on a regular basis?
I use so many. Oh. Yeah. Software-wise, you know, I basically only do, you know, working on computers software-wise is the virus removal and stuff. So, I mean, I've got a list of 10 tools that I use on every computer. You know, I've got them numbered, and I go from – I go to Viper is the first Viper. Yeah, is the first one. I go to MZSoft, quick scan, and I do a full scan if it's needed. Malwarebytes, of course. And then I use, you know, the C cleaner like everybody uses. I use Wise Registry Cleaner and Wise Disk Cleanup. I know that's not really a choice for a lot of people, but it seems to work really, really well, and I've never had a single issue out of it. I am, you know, starting to use the TechWaru, you know, I heard on your shows.
Okay.
And that's working really well. And then, you know, the Repair Shopper is another tool that's not in the virus repair thing, but is another software type application that I'm using for my POS systems, which I'm really getting into.
Yes.
But as far as, and that's software wise, as far as bench wise, I'm sitting here looking at my bench. I mean, I've got a microscope for board level repairs. I've got the heat gun and soldering station. I've got another heat gun station. I've got the LCD separators for glass only repairs. You know, I've just got it set up in a way. I've found a group of tools that I found that I'm going to use on a daily basis. And I've got it set up in a sort of a little square or circle situation to where my, any way I turn my seat, I have access to every single tool I own.
Nice. Okay.
So there's not a lot of running around and getting this tool and this tool. So I can work on four or five projects at a time from my one seat.
No, that's great. I don't know if you probably haven't seen the pictures. I put some pictures on Google Plus a while back, but my repair station is basically in a closet.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, I've been. That's another thing I actually wanted to ask you is what your repair station looked like.
It's if you follow me on Google Plus, you can probably go back and look at the pictures there. And I've got a picture of my office where I sit. I've got my main computer and I've got my bench computer behind me. But in my closet is my, you know, like where I do, you know, hardware repairs and stuff like that. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I've put some up on Instagram and on my own as far as my bench and stuff. Another question while we're still there, and you might can give me a simple answer to this. How in the world as a tech do you get that – do you pay for that perfect computer system you need? It takes a pretty good bunch of money from the get-go to get, you know, a good computer. But, you know, I'm sitting here, you know, I'm on Skype right now on my 2011 edition Mac Mini with a dual hard drive kit, SSD, and 5 gigs of RAM. But that's the best thing I got right now. And my laptop is a piece of junk HP Windows 8 that I'm ready to throw in the garbage, and it's brand new. Somebody just gave it to me. So, I mean, and right now I'm working on a bench computer for data recovery and, you know, working on hard drives and stuff. And I'm also working on a business computer that I do data recovery for phones and stuff on. But, you know, how do you get pay for that perfect computer system?
Well, number one, my perfect computer system for myself, I would have whether I was doing this business or not.
Yeah.
So, number two, I work a full-time job outside of this. So that's basically right. Where that comes from. And, you know, I've been building computers since 2001. And basically, I was able to take all those computers and pass them down to a certain extent to, you know, my kids. And so everybody's got their own separate computer. And so when I have an upgrade, we just kind of pass everything down the line, you know, as far as parts and stuff, you know, like that. So
this is my full-time job. So, I mean, you know, finding the budget to build that computer, I mean, I'm making good money, you know, it's paying my bills and everything. But I still, at the end of the day, end up thinking I just don't have that much money yet.
No, you know, and I'll be honest with you. There's a couple of things that this is just coming from, you know, what I've learned so far. There's a couple things where you're doing good business, and I, you know, your prices to me are still very inexpensive. I'm not going to call them
right.
cheap, but they're very inexpensive. So
I'm working on it.
That's one area, you know, is I always encourage people to really look at the market. And sometimes, you know, maybe you can't go higher than what you see, but a lot of times don't worry about the ones that are really inexpensive in your area, because they will be here today, gone tomorrow,
exactly.
Type thing. So yeah, a lot of times I'll take, you know, some of the money for my business and, you know, put into things for, you know, for my business, but it's also for, you know, some of my personal stuff too, because, you know, a lot of those things can be interchangeable. But to be honest with you, for what you're doing, I mean, you need to get online. So a Mac Mini or whatever, even a cruddy, you know, laptop is still fine for what, how you need to run your business. I shouldn't say I never. I have bought my whole system all at one time, but I usually upgrade in pieces.
Yeah, I fixed to say I've got a cart in New Egg right now that I'm going to start buying buying the pieces one by one.
Well,
and putting it together as I go.
Yeah, and a lot of times what I've done is, you know, I just replaced my case earlier this year. I had a nice Antec 900 case, mm-hmm. and I went with a thermal take. And the only reason I went with this case is, number one, it was like $90 on sale. Yeah. And which sounds expensive, but the thing it had that I really wanted and I kind of needed was it had a dock, a toaster like dock in the top of it, so I can plug in a hard drive.
Right, like a hot swap or whatever.
Exactly. So for me, so sometimes I have to get, you know, stuff off my main computer, get it to my bench computer, and that literally is the quickest way to do it. It's faster than a USB flash drive. And so, you know, it's one of, a lot of times when you're moving large files, it's much quicker than a USB flash drive, even on USB 3.0. So, so for me, I guess it's a justification of sorts of why I have that. But the other reason I have this machine is really for gaming. And, you know, you don't really need a computer like I have for doing computer repair.
Right. So. And, you know, basically, I think what I finally got it down to is I pull a little bit of my weekly sales and I put it into like a bank bag or whatever.
Sure.
At the end of the month, you know, you see how much is in that bank bag. If you can afford, you know, that money specifically goes for this project, you know, like forget it's there. You don't spend it.
Right.
Like if even, you know, if you're in a tight situation, don't spend that money because, you know, that's going for that certain project you do need for. Like that's what I did for the going to school thing. You know, I put money back weekly and no matter if my bank account went in the hole ordering parts or whatever, I did not pull from that resource.
Right.
And that's just what I've kind of learned to do. And that's what I'm basically doing right now for my bench build stuff is putting them back money back weekly and pretending it's not there.
Well, you know what? You're doing business the right way because you're taking the time to educate yourself. You're sending yourself to school to learn things that is going to make you money and, you know, is probably already making you money.
It is.
You know, so, I mean, those are the, unfortunately for a lot of us, we don't necessarily continue our education, but I think in this business, one of the things that people need to do is continue their education.
Definitely.
And get better at what they're doing. Not only just from a technician standpoint necessarily, because you need to do that, but also from a mentality standpoint of being a business owner, learning how to run your business, learning the ins and outs of what you can and cannot do and, you know, making it work for you and work in your area.
Right. I mean, don't be afraid to say you don't know how to do this, but you're willing to learn. So, like the school, you know, I specifically went for the glass only repairs and the micro soldering for, you know, charge and port repairs and stuff. And probably by the 2 weeks by the time I got back in town, I had 3 pages of people to call when I got back. I was on for 3 days and I had 3 pages of people to call. And because I'm a one man band, I do everything.
Right.
So probably in 2 to 3 weeks from the time I got back, I had already paid for the school. So in just the glass ceiling repairs and the micro soldering, I paid for the money I put into the education I got down there. And then so another thing I have, if you're, you know, even if you're young or old, getting started in this type of thing and you want help, want to find some friends or something in the same type field. I don't know if you've ever heard of a thing called Bar Camp.
No, I haven't.
It doesn't have anything to do with the bar. I don't know why it's named that. the people in our area are actually changing the name because it kind of has a wrong connotation.
See, but, now, when you said Bar Camp, I was thinking a bar of soap myself, so I whatever.
Okay, well, that's not the first thing that comes to mind. But, you know, basically, most of them are held inside colleges. And I go to two in my area. I go to one that's an hour away and one that's 2 hours away. And the one that's an hour away is at our local college, and it's called Bar Camp Jonesboro, or anyway, they're renaming it to Event Camp or something. But basically, it's one day only, and it's where you as a person, you can sign up to do a presentation if you want to. All these people just kind of get together, and it's an all-day fun seminars, you know, talk about what you know with this person. You can learn something, you know. It's just an all-day for geeks to get together and talk about what they do.
Oh, that sounds cool.
And it's free. It's totally free.
Okay.
So, and then another thing I actually signed up for today, and I don't know if I'm going to get to go to it yet, but is, have you ever heard of CTIA or Wireless Repair Expo?
No, I haven't.
Okay, I signed up for the Wireless Repair Expo today. If you sign up now, I think it's free. And then if you wait too late, it's $200.
Okay.
But it's free, and it's in Las Vegas. And it seems like it's going to – I think the first time – for it was last year, was its first year. And E-Tech, I think, is the main sponsor this year.
Oh, nice.
So, and I mean, the hotels, there's hotels you can stay in right beside, it's in the Sands Expo. And the hotels, there's hotels all around that you can stay in. I mean, it's going to cost me probably at max $2,000 to come and go.
Right.
So, I mean, it is a lot of money. But if you think about the resources you're going to get and, you know, the friends you're going to make, the contacts and everything, it's really not that much money to put into your business.
No, and it's one of the things we're doing this year is that I'm actually coming out to CompTIA's Channel Con in Chicago, which is in August. And okay. It's one of the things that, you know, again, a lot of techs, a lot of small companies that, you know, have, you know, stuff to sell techs is going to be there. And there's a lot of good talks and things going on about things that in your business. And it's one of the things that I want to get started in doing because it's really important to keep that education going. And unfortunately, right. A lot of us, we just kind of keep doing the same things over and over again. And, you know, right. What do they say? What's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. But, you know, I'm kind of tired myself of just, you know, beating my head against the wall. So I constantly want to learn new things and make things better.
Right.
And with that being said, I don't sit here and, you know, again, I can't spend hours and hours a day changing things in my business, but I can change my business a little bit every day and make it better.
Right. You can, technology is evolving every day. New devices come on the market every day. And I just try to keep up on the latest stuff as it comes out, you know, because you're going to have people in here with the latest technology. You know, I got an Apple Watch shipping out tomorrow, I think. And you're going to get it in here to kind of get – I wanted it simply because I wanted it. But I'm also going to work on those. I've already – you know, E-Tech's already selling, I think, the screens for them.
Okay.
And I want to be able to have one to touch it and feel it and, you know, to kind of know what I'm dealing with.
Sure. No, that makes perfect sense. And a lot of times, too, that's why I will buy certain things so that I can actually use it. So when a customer does bring me something, I go, oh, okay, yeah, this makes sense because – I'm using it, and I, you know, a lot of times I used to always say, well, I don't know, because I don't use anything like that.
Right.
But that doesn't help the customers out there.
And, you know, as a tech, a good way to go bankrupt is thinking you have to have the most latest technology that comes out.
Right.
Okay. Like you said, if you can afford it, you know, go for it. But I'm still rocking an iPhone 5. People are like, you don't have the 6 yet? You're a tech. I don't have to have a 6.
Right.
You know, there's not that much of a benefit. You know, a better camera, you know, maybe, you know.
Yeah. And coming from my standpoint, I don't understand people who own iPhones anyways, but.
Oh, well, come on now. I don't understand Androids either, but. You know.
No, it's one of those things that you use whatever works for you in your business or whatever works for you personally. And, there's benefits to both. And
right. You know, we all know iPhone people are better.
Yes, in their minds.
That's a whole separate podcast.
Exactly. I like both products, you know, for what they do. I just, you know, I bought an LG G3 this last fall, and I got it for a penny from Amazon. So
really, wow.
And that was subsidized, but, you know, brand new phone, and it was good enough. Before that, I had a Samsung S3, and I think I had that for like 2.5 years. And if I hadn't found this LG G3 for a penny, I wouldn't have upgraded my phone because the other phone was just fine. And it did everything I needed it to do. Exactly. So
right now I've got on my behind me that I own, I have 3 Galaxy S4s, 2 Galaxy S3s, a couple of droids, about 5 iPhone 4s, iPhone 5Cs, you know. I cover the market.
I guess so. No, that sounds good.
That's just, you know, stuff you buy from customers, refurbish it, and make a little extra buck on in the case.
Sure. Well, Chandler, I really appreciate you coming on the show and sharing with us today. You've had a wealth full of knowledge and definitely appreciate it. And if people want to find you or get in touch with you and chat with you, what's the best way that they can do that?
Like we're on Skype right now is Chandler.Calvert. That's my username. And the email is ChandlerCalvert76@gmail.com. Instagram is Instagram.com/2geeksiphonerepair. Facebook is facebook.com/geeksiphonerepair. That's probably all. My number is 870-362-4488. If you want to give me a call, text me. You know, don't text me once I'm in bed. But you can call me during the day. If I'm free, I'll talk to you. You know, feel free to share the knowledge.
All right. Awesome. Very cool. All right. Well, I appreciate it again. And you guys can find me over on the Google Plus at Jeffrey Hallish or Twitter at TechNutPC. And if you have any questions or would like to be a guest on this show like Chandler was, email me at podnutsdaily@podnuts.com. If you guys want to leave a voicemail for the show, you can call 1-888-697-0162. And I want to thank our sponsor, Instant House Call, for this episode of Podnuts Daily. And don't forget, if you guys need business paperwork to get you started in your computer repair business, then check out the link for the TechNibble Computer Business Kit over at podnuts.com. If you guys could do us a favor, please leave us a rating and or review over on iTunes. That helps more people know about us so that we can get this knowledge out. And you guys can also help support the Podnuts Network. Next time you're shopping at Amazon, go to podnuts.com/Amazon. Remember, that doesn't change your price at all. It puts a little change in the pockets of the Podnuts Network to bring you these great shows. And I want to thank everyone for listening and subscribing to the show. We'll see you next time on Podnuts Daily. My name is Jeff Hallish. I am the host of Podnuts, where Chris Carruthers and myself take live calls on the air to answer questions or to get answers from other computer repair techs. Every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern. You can check it out over at podnuts.com/live. Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.